Episode number 261.
Yeah, I like what I do. I make good money, but you know, sometimes I follow the system and I don't know. It's just, I feel like a salesperson.
Right.
Well, if you feel like a salesperson, imagine what you look like to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, so stop being a salesperson. Be a human being who just happens to sell.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy's always fired up. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to bring you guys hopefully some value today like we try to do every show. But most importantly, after this show, I think you're going to think about how can I make more money and what are some of the secrets, maybe especially the seven secrets, because we're going to get into that with my man here and our featured guest, Mr. Alan Langer. Alan, are you ready to be real?
Travis, I'm ready, buddy. Always ready to be real.
He's bringing the fuego, folks, with the seven secrets. We're going to get into that with the seven secrets center for sales and marketing and helping basically you and your team transform, whether that's an individual or whether that's, you know, a top producer, you know, trying to get to the top, you know, and everyone's got to start somewhere. But hopefully we'll get into some of those tactics and secrets. And also we're going to get into the book, but basically helping you turn your company into rockstar sales, especially during these times. I know everybody knows that sales cure, you know, money and revenue and sales cure a lot of ailments. Yes, and I know we're experiencing absolutely. That in our business where we're having clients and customers, folks that are just shut down out here. And so we're losing, you know, six figures of income possibly in ads and things like that because of some of the water park clients, for instance, and some of these other clients that are not going to be open this year. And so we're hoping and we're trying and we're working hard to go out and get some new business going, you know? And so that's the only way that you can do it, folks, through these times is finding, and we all have time to prospect. We all have time because right now, shit, it's easy. You can do it on Zoom. It's so simple. I mean, you can literally prospect all over the world. If your product is available to, and there's no travel time, there's no hopping on planes, you can go from Zoom to Zoom, country to country within an hour. You're going from Australia to San Francisco, and it's unbelievable. So there's some advantages, and we can talk about the disadvantages. But tell us about your story, Alan. What created, you know, what made you always love sales? For one, I guess.
Well, before I get that, I just want to, what you just said, I was on a Zoom call with a woman from Sweden, and then I was on a Zoom call with a guy from India, all within an hour. So how cool is that, right?
And your body's not worn down, and you're not having to spend time in airports and wait for delayed planes and hotel fees. Cool. And when you think about it that way, it's amazing.
Yeah, you got to look at this is not, you know, obviously the pandemic is a horrible thing, but you got to look at it as an opportunity rather than, oh my God, now look what I got to do. This is just an opportunity. It's just a different way. You got to pivot and think of it a different way and you'll be successful. So anyway, to answer your question, I've been in sales, mostly B2C, but quite a bit of B2B, but mostly B2C for this is my 27th year of being
in
some form of sales and marketing.
Right.
And the reason I wrote the book, the book is called The Seven Secrets to Selling More by Selling Less. And the play on words is stop selling. Stop going into a house, stop going into a meeting with nothing but the sale in mind.
Right.
See, when I get approached by a company owner or a sales manager and they say, we want to be trained to make more money. We obviously want to increase our bottom line. I'm like, well, you got to forget about your bottom line. Yeah. Once you forget about your bottom line and you worry about how you're making your customers feel, your bottom line will blow up. But if you're concentrating on your bottom line all the time, you're concentrating, oh my God, I got to make this sale. I got to hit my quota.
Activity.
You're just going to be a mediocre company and mediocre sales team.
Gotcha.
So that's why I wrote the book. And the book has really, the amazing thing about, not my book, but the amazing thing that I realized, which is why I wrote the book, is that the strategies in the book, they're really not rocket science. I'll be the first to say it, but they're not trained.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. Body language is not trained in sales.
Mm.
You'll be hard pressed to find a book on sales that talks about body language.
Right.
I have a whole chapter on what you should pay attention to in body language in sales.
Huge.
Huge.
Micro expressions, right? These little micro expressions.
Yeah. Pursed lips. I mean, I saw a guy lose a $40,000 deal because the customer pursed his lips and he didn't notice it.
Wow.
So little things like that. So that's what the book's about. It's about these things that you can take. how the human brain works, how we are humans, how we are as a tribe, as a culture, and all of those things. You want the customer to feel comfortable making a purchase with you. It's all about them feeling comfortable, and then obviously feeling comfortable after the purchase as well. Because if you're just a churn and burn salesperson, you're just a numbers guy, your cancellation rate is very high, because people realize after you left, like, what the hell did I just do?
Right.
You know, that's not the salesperson you want to be. And what I've come to realize is that's a lot of times salespeople don't want to be that type of person either. They're just trained to be that type of person.
Yeah. I think the organizations themselves, I remember working for a few, I'm not going to name the names, but I work for a few big media companies. One you can starts with Mickey Mouse. And the bottom line is, you know, there's certain a point of quotas, and it's like, dude, everyone like kind of saw through that. We figured out a ways to see through that when they started telling us we got to do so many appointments. I got friends right now that got to do so many phone calls per day. That's real easy to do. It's like, yeah, I can do that in 1 hour. And it's just mindless, and I can just 20 calls. I made 20 calls, but that's not how his real deals are happening, you know? And so it's kind of like the organizations themselves need to rethink what true quality communication with customers is, you know? It's like just over the, you know, 100 calls a day, I got to hit 1,000 DMs on Instagram, and I got to, but dude, does that, I mean, yes, I agree. Like activity, it always works. It's like activity is always going to work. Be real. That's true. But how much are you actually building from those customers? And like you said, churn and burn, and how many, you only need one or two really great customers every day and every week to build a huge business for yourself.
Right. And it's also like, it's colossal waste of time. Like, you know, here's a great example. I did some training with this guy who was he worked for a disaster relief company. And the business model was he had to visit 80 businesses a week, walk in the door, 80 a week. Wow. He had to log everyone, and he had to turn it into the owner of the company.
Right.
And I said, well, what are the other, you know, criteria? He goes, that's it. He just wants me to visit 80 people.
Just activity. Just hammer out.
Just total activity. And the guy said, when you get in there, try to get to the decision maker and leave him a Patriots calendar. I'm like, that's the sales process.
Wow.
So I actually said, can I meet with your owner?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. Cause he hated his job.
Right.
And I said to him, wouldn't it be better for this guy, your sales guy, to visit 30 people a week, but 25 of them are really good appointments rather than 80 and 5 of them are good appointments?
Bullshit, yeah. Right.
It was so foreign to him, the concept that he's like, well, I was just told the more people you see, the more sales you get. You'll get a few sales, but you're not going to get the quality for sustainability, that's for sure.
And you're going to burn out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to burn out, dude. How many great conversations can you really have with people? I cannot have 80 good podcasts in 1 week. I mean, the most I've done, I think, is like 10. And it's like, oh my God. I did 8 that I had my shows, which is insane. We usually do about 4. And I had 8 my shows that week. If we had to push back stuff with this virus, it's changed up some of our production things and whatever. And then also I went on a few podcasts. So that's when you're telling your story and you're kind of talking more. But dude, I was wiped out with 10. I can't imagine.
Absolutely. I can't imagine
80 great conversations with people where you're actually getting in depth and learning about them and building value. And at the end of the day, like you said, what you want from a sales call is friendship. You want to have a friend. And a great way for anyone listening to instantly have credibility is start a podcast. I mean, I did that 6 years ago, and I built credibility by myself after 270 shows and 240.
Look at you.
220 something published, and we got a bunch in the can, and we're publishing as much as we can right now, you know, because it's needed, as well as the point is, if I wanted to, when I was looking back in the beginning, I could have literally just said, hey, I'm going to use this as a sales strategy, right? Like I'm going to turn my podcast into whatever my show is. I'm going to be bringing my prospects on the show, which it's not. This show is not that, guys, but the truth is I have had customers come from the show, right?
Yep.
But the point is, if you're starting a show today, right, Alan, you can literally use it like as create a podcast and then like bring people on, and like you can build credibility with them, and you're not selling. You're learning about
them. I did that. Yeah.
I got
my sixth one is dropping this afternoon. So
yeah, see, exactly. That is a very great tactic to use right now in 2020 and beyond, because people actually give you time on an interview where they'll give you no time to look through a slide deck, whatever. Because
100%.
Yeah, it's like
the conversation is so different. You know, can I have 15 minutes to talk about my product, or hey, would you like to be on my podcast?
Yeah, can I introduce you to 30,000 people, you know, and talk about your business, and hopefully you get sales from it, and talk about your story. And yeah, right. I mean, it's absolutely a win-win. Yeah, in that you have really the conversation, you're not going to sell something on the show, right? Like, you're not going to instantly just start selling stuff to the guests, but you build credibility and you build a friendship. And that's what sales should be, in that you can't have 500 million trillion friends.
Right.
Like, it's impossible. It's like, it's not possible. It's possible to like have, you know, some followers, but you can't really, these aren't friends. These are people that support you. These are people that like your message, but they're not your actual friend. And you got to think of it that way in your business. And because obviously you build one good customer, you do good for them, they're going to tell someone else.
Right.
Then your funnel is just, this John just sent me another lead because he told another friend. And that's how you, if you're burning people, you're going to be burned out yourself, because you're going to have to be on the phone pushing through all these things. Yep. And most likely a lot of these people are going from job to job, because
job to job,
they get sniffed out, you know, they get sniffed out quickly, and they kind of end up just, you know, kind of going from job to job. And so they're kind of set up to fail.
Yeah. And here's the other problem. And this is why I actually wrote the book, is that salesperson, that churn and burn, that job to job salesperson, is the overall perception of salespeople.
Right.
So like, nobody wants to talk to us. Nobody wants to talk to a salesperson. And the reason being is because a salesperson's perception is, it's never about me. It's always about them. They always want to make the sale. They want to trip me, rip me off. They want whatever they want to do.
So true.
Why do you think online sales is so popular? Why do you think now people design their cars online and walk into this dealership with, this is the car I want. How much is it? Because, well, I know how much it is. It printed it, but, and then I don't want, that's it. This don't talk to me. Don't do anything. They're afraid to talk to the salesperson because they don't trust them.
Carvana. I mean, it's one of my best, newest investments. I bought it for $20. I mean, it's a great company. They'd ship the car to you, or if you want the legacy, they'll fly you out to, or you can drive to their vending machine where you can put the coin in and the vending machine will pop up the car. It's a pretty cool model, but they're shipping the cars right to you. There's Vroom.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that happened because people hated car salespeople.
Boom.
Exactly why it happened.
And that's also happening in real estate. People are buying Redfin, and a lot of these places are somewhat skipping the model of the real estate transaction and bringing down the fees. And that, obviously, we know there are kind of some exorbitant fees in real estate transactions.
Yeah.
And that they should be flat fee in a way, because it's like, how much work do you really do on this deal? It's like, you know, you're selling $1 million, but like, you did the same work as you sold a $200,000 house. And so it should be flat fee. I mean, some of these people have sniffed this out, you know, just like legal, it's all moved to more flat fee stuff. You know, you have flat fee trusts and flat fee estate planning and things like that. And that pushes everyone in the industry to change. Just like Robinhood pushed everyone in the industry, folks, this last 2 years, to go to where you can basically trade stocks for zero fees because of Robinhood. And if you didn't do it, you're going to get, you know, Robinhood is going to get your money, you know? And so, and now Robinhood's turning into a bank. They'll give you a card and you can get margin, and they've done all sorts of things. So the point is, it's amazing. But they've moved a whole legacy industry, Alan. Right? Like, with all the E-Trades and all the brokerage houses that my dad used to tell me stories of paying $100 to buy a stock. And
that's crazy.
Now it's free. And they're all selling you slices now. I told him, I said, Dad, the next thing is they're going to be fractionalizing this thing. You can buy $5 at Amazon right now in a slice, they call it. Or on Robinhood, it's a fraction, just like on crypto. So the world is changing. But it's fascinating. It's exciting. Right now for you, let's talk about the secrets, because I love the book. I think it's so fascinating, into body language, like you talked about. But what are people missing right now in their approach? We already talked about, they're trying to just kind of sell you. What else is missing right now in their approach right now? In these especially, maybe too, specifically, because, you know, it's kind of poignant to what we're going through.
Yeah. And what I did was I did a blog post about a month ago about, now, you know, body language is not as important because now we have Zoom. So you can basically, the torso up. Yes. So I kind of did, okay, how do we pay attention to body language when we're on a video call, stuff like
that.
Got
you.
But, you know, all that being said about everyone buying stuff online, everything, there's still always going to be face-to-face. There's always going to be Absolutely. Face-to-face sales. I don't care what it is. It's still going to be face-to-face.
Right.
You know, you can't buy an SAS system online. You can't buy a copy machine online.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, stuff like that. So what the customer wants first and foremost, and again, this is a cliche, but they want to know that you hear them, you're listening, but that you want to make the customer feel comfortable. Mm. And you want to differentiate yourself from the other five Yahoos that just saw the customer. Right. So for example, let's say I came from the window and door industry. So, you know, that industry is basically, you go into a house, you try to sell that product, you don't sell it on the first call, you're out. You don't even get to call that customer back. That's how the industry is designed.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's that one call close is pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Most of it is commission only. So now you got commission breath when you come in the house, right. So that you like stink of like, I got to sell this job.
You know, you're going to be making money on that deal. So it's
right. And so does the customer. So the customer is like, well, how much commission are you making on this? You know, stuff like that. But like, here's a couple of ways to make people feel comfortable and that you're different. Mm. People like to use testimonials, but people mostly use testimonials the wrong way. They'll say, hey, Mr. Smith, we've had 30,000 sales across the country of this window. Okay, that's impressive. What's better is, you know what? We sold three jobs a couple of blocks from here.
Yeah.
And Tony, who's in the bagel shop every day, had a $25,000 job.
Yeah.
Those three jobs are much more important to that customer because he feels like he's part of that tribe because they live nearby.
Right.
The guy so
localizing,
in Topeka, Kansas,
localizing this, these successes.
Yeah. And it's social proof. It's basically you as a human being, you feel much more comfortable and you feel part of a tribe.
Right.
Like, for example, when you're buying something online, go back to the online example. How many times you see the pop-up that says, hey, Joe just bought this 5 minutes ago. Oh. Or 17 people are looking at the same hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got social proof, and then you got scarcity in the
pressure.
Same.
Someone's going to buy this hotel room.
So, this must be a good hotel room because all these people are looking at it. That's number one.
Right.
And number two, boy, I better get it because it's going to be gone.
Right.
So if you add social proof where it has a connection to the customer, not just the basic testimony, it has a connection to the customer where they make them feel like someone else like them purchase the product, they're going to feel much more comfortable making that decision and purchasing with you.
That's fascinating. And then, yeah. so that should resonate through all your marketing and all your,
100%.
Anything you're doing, you know, you need to make it feel like the local guy around the corner is with you too. You know, I think probably a lot of times you come to a website and it's like, we've done 500 million clients and, you know, we've served every industry, but it's like, yeah, well, do you serve my industry for one? You
right.
know, it's just connecting to me, as well as I think that people in general, I think the biggest thing people are missing right now is that, like you said, due to quotas, no one's personal.
Nope.
Everyone's got a copy and templated database full of shit that they're sending out to people. Let's just be
same
real.
Same email. Same email. Same,
hey, yep. Alan, my name's this. And there's bots on LinkedIn now, as you guys probably know, that are doing lots of different things. And I don't know how long that's going to last for them because it's unethical, but whatever. I mean, if you use them, that's fine. That's fine. But there's just like anything, the platforms eventually sniff these things out. So it's like back in the heydays of Facebook, there was different types of things you could do to grow pages that you can't do now.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. You know, I think LinkedIn is the platform that everyone that's listening to the show that wants to be in sales, doing sales, wanting to communicate with their customers, they need to be on LinkedIn, right? I mean, I see you have a great LinkedIn.
Thank you. Yeah, you got to be on LinkedIn. And here's the thing that drives me crazy about most people on LinkedIn. Not that I'm putting anyone down, but most people just don't understand the power of it. Mm. Like, they'll have just a generic picture on their banner, or they'll have that LinkedIn blue with the stars and nothing about themselves. And you know, it'll say insurance agent. And then the about section is, I've been an insurance agent for 10 years and I have three dogs and I live in Kansas. You know,
right.
That's not making me call you for insurance.
Yeah.
You want to tell people what you do and what you the problem that you solve right up in your banner. That's where you need to put that. And then your about section, you have to hook them. You have to ask a question. Are you happy with your insurance, for example? Or, you know, my about section is, don't you hate feeling like a salesperson when you're selling stuff, or you were trained, don't you want to feel good about selling? Because I talk to so many salespeople who are like, yeah, I like what I do. I make good money, but you know, sometimes I follow the system and I don't know. It's just, I feel like a salesperson.
Right.
Well, if you feel like a salesperson, imagine what you look like to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, so stop being a salesperson, be a human being who just happens to sell.
I love that. Yeah. Putting everything, as we're talking live here, I'm looking at his LinkedIn. He's got an awesome LinkedIn. Yeah. It's just so true. I love that you're putting,
know what I do, right?
I love that you're putting the value prop in the banners too. So I think that's fascinating. Great strategy there. And LinkedIn's a platform, folks, that is just still underutilized by so many business owners. Like you said, most people just have not even filled out their profile correctly. They just have barely enough stuff on there. So when you're reaching out to prospects, and a lot of times you're just connecting to them, maybe you're reaching out to them, and saying something to them. Sometimes that's good. Like, hey, how's the weather out there in Rhode Island? Mm-hmm. That's a great way to connect. You know, it's just being personal, not so that people know that's not a template. They can't write that, you know. It would not work because T. Huff's not from Rhode Island. So if they send that to me, it wouldn't work. But the point is, there's a lot to just being simple and personal, I think, to connecting first. And then from there, people are going to view your profile, like you said. So
Yes. Make
sure that you know what you do. A lot of times people have nothing filled out on there. You don't really know what they do. They have the basic, simple stuff. And you'll see this quite often, actually, on the higher levels of management. Because they've already made it, they've had success. They don't need to grind. CEOs of major companies, many of them don't have profiles, which is maybe missing out on, as well as also just the management and different levels. It seems like and owners of businesses, because there's like, I don't even need it. Like, you know, some don't even need a website, so like I don't even need to be on LinkedIn. But the bottom line is, for those in the future, LinkedIn is it. You know, it's it. It's owned by Microsoft. It's integrated with everything, and it only is going to grow. And there's a great value to it. But then also writing in a book, was that a challenging process for you?
Yes. But can I say one thing about LinkedIn before?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I want to give you here's, I'm going to, on the Be Real show, I'm going to give you the biggest secret, the biggest hidden secret on LinkedIn that everybody needs to do today.
We're getting it okay. down here. We're
going to post something.
Let's get our notes.
First of all, you need to be posting valuable content. Don't preach about yourself. Just give some tips. Post valuable content. When you see someone that's your potential customer, like your post, instead of just saying thank you or just seeing that they liked it, leave them a video DM. LinkedIn, you can actually do a video DM. If you go to the messages, you hit the little plus button, it opens up the different things you can send, picture, and you can record a video.
Got you.
You will get, I'm not kidding, 100% response rate when you send a DM video. Hey, Ryan, I just saw, you know, I saw that you liked my post. Just want to say thanks for reaching out. Glad we're connected. Anything I can do for you want to chat about, feel free to reach out. Have a great day.
That's
boom.
Amazing.
30 seconds.
Right.
And people flip out over it because no one does it.
Yeah.
It's such a small percentage. So you will stand out so much.
That's
so there's my LinkedIn tip. Use
boom. That's some bomb right there, folks. Anyone. Let's just replay that for everyone because I think it's a fabulous tip and I'm going to start doing it myself. Anyone that has engaged with your last post that you feel like is a good prospect or just anyone, maybe just do
even,
it to
even anyone. Yeah. But
do it to anyone, but especially if they're your prospect, right? Like, especially if you want to talk to them, give them a DM and say, hey, what's good? Yep. What's good, Alan? Thank you so much for liking my last post, man. I really appreciate you. And, hope all is well. And I hope that.
And that's it. Don't be a sales pitch. Don't say, hey, give me a call, set up an appointment on my calendar. Don't do that right away.
Absolutely. Just talk.
Say hello.
Right. Introduce yourself because no one's doing that. I've gotten a lot of audio ones. Some of them are longer than I expected. I'm like, oh, why the hell is someone talking this long to me on audio? and it was personal too. I'm like, damn, someone spent 5 minutes in a, but yeah, make it short, make it simple. I don't think people, and then also the video element, because it's just so important. I think that audio is amazing. Let's be real. We're on a podcast, but there's something to having video and obviously why success of FaceTime and of Zoom. Yeah. And things like this is because you get to see someone's face. And
even an email now, use Loom. Use the BombBomb, I think, is another
one. BombBomb, baby. Yes, BombBomb. Yeah, great one.
You can just do a video email.
Yes.
It's going to be opened. They're going to look at it. It's just.
And they're going to feel like you actually took it a little extra time. And actually, folks, most of the time, recording these things takes less time than thinking about what to write.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of times you just push it and your mind goes and you just, in the pressure of the moment, you kind of just deliver. instead of sitting there in front of your email, like, what do I have to say to this customer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We had a guest on.
And people appreciate that you're doing it because it's real. It's just like you're having a conversation. I actually like when there are people who I can't really pronounce their name, and I'm like, I hope I got your name right.
Right.
They're like, they appreciate that. Like, yes. Oh, this guy is really like talking to me.
It's good to show vulnerability in the sales process too. Like, show that like you're trying, you know, like, oh, did I get that name right? You know, like it's good to kind of show that vulnerability, I think. And I think that's a very important thing to do. Because people do want to help. So it's like, kind of, oh, no, you say it this way. They want to help you say the name right. So, good. That's why I always ask my guests the first thing I do. You heard me ask that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do that in the show for the same reason. Sometimes I'll say it 6-7 times. And a few times I've said the same. Damn, I've said it 8 times, folks, and then I get the name wrong when I deliver on it. And that's mind playing tricks with you. But the point is, most of the time, you get it right. And then it builds the camaraderie that you're trying to get their name right, which is important.
Correct.
People kind of feel value in that. We only have one name. So even though my name's Tutalin, you can make your own name. You have Travis Huff is my actual name, you know? So, but now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Apple or Android?
Android.
Nice. Netflix or YouTube?
Ooh, Netflix.
Netflix and chill. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
IG, the new one. Chicken or steak?
Oh, steak, 100 times.
Do you have a favorite steak cut that you like to order?
I do like the New York strip.
Oh, yes. Man, that makes me hungry with some like blue cheese and some mushrooms.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Laptop or smartphone?
Laptop.
Laptop. Spotify or Pandora?
Ooh, Spotify.
Spotify making moves, baby. They just signed a new deal with Universal.
Did they really
start? Oh yeah, they're gonna. You know, they've always made money, guys. Right, like making, like releasing the music. You know, they're making money. Basically, the labels are paying them to be, you know, releasing the music, and there's a relationship there where they're making money. But now Spotify is gonna make money with the labels helping them sell their music, using all the data and using the fans that are listening to now. A dual marketplace. So not only are they going to bring in, you know, new stuff, but now they're going to be able to sell to new people. And that's going to be a whole new way they're going to make money is selling and using the analytics of the consumers to help labels sell their music. This is a huge deal. It just got struck today. Universal Music, which is one of the big ones out there. Yeah. So Spotify, not only doing podcasts, not only getting to everything, now they're going to be into sales and marketing of music, which is, makes sense, right? I mean, they're there. So why not help them out and make some money?
Yeah.
I love that. Movies or video games?
Oh, movies.
Boom. Reading books or listening to books?
So I listen first and then I read it after I listen. So I would say listening first.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So if you like it, you get the physical copy.
Well, what I do is if I'm listening, I can't really take notes. So I'll listen and I'll absorb it. And then when I read the book, I'll remember the thing that I listened to that I liked and I'll highlight it.
Got you.
So I'll always do it twice if I like the book.
If you like the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you'll just go to the next one.
And then I just won't buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing about this world, right? It's like, hey.
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing. Mr. Bezos made $13 billion a few days ago with his stock going up 7%. Jesus Christ, selling books online turned into whole something different, folks. stocks or real estate?
You know, I would have been real estate if you asked me this 5 years ago, but I would say stocks right now.
Stocks right now, yeah. Oceans or lakes when you're thinking about taking a vacation?
Lakes.
Lakes?
Well,
that's tough.
I love ocean. I hate sand. No, I would say ocean. I would go with the ocean.
What ocean would you go to right now if you could hop on a plane in the?
I would go to the Caribbean somewhere.
I heard they banned us. They just recently banned us in the Caribbean. No Americans come down to the Caribbean. We will not accept your money, goddammit. Oh, geez, man. It's crazy. When you wake up in the morning, Alan, you're getting yourself ready for the day. Why do you love being you?
Because in 2018, I decided to start doing what made my heart sing. That was writing and teaching and helping people. I mean, I've always loved sales. Don't get me wrong. Sales has been, you know, the love of my life. It's made all my money.
Right.
But I wanted to take it to the next level. I just didn't want to keep doing the day-to-day sales again, which I could do it now. I can do it until I retire. But I always wanted to write a book. I'm a writer at heart. I finally wrote my book, and that book has opened a lot of doors for me. It's my business card now. So I've been on podcasts. I've started my own company in consulting. And before COVID happened, I had 7 speaking gigs scheduled and ready to go.
Amazing.
So I had to pivot. And you know, in retrospect, even though obviously the pandemic has been an awful thing, but I think a lot of people are going to come out on the other end of this either a lot worse or a lot better.
Yes.
And I'm going to come out a lot better because I had to really reinvent myself online and what I was doing, because my whole business model was based on I'm going to go and speak and train
right
in person.
Right.
And that went away.
Right.
So what do I need to do to fix that? So I pivoted online. I'm putting together a video boot camp, things like that. So
absolutely,
I would have never done any of that if COVID didn't happen.
Right.
So,
and that will make you stronger because you can serve more customers at scale.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just spoke to a guy in India, like I said this morning. You know, he wants to introduce me to an Indian sales organization that is looking for people to help train.
Right.
I would have done that without COVID. Never.
Absolutely.
Would have never happened.
See, that's amazing. So that's the thing, folks, is now is the time just to lean in more on all the things you can do. I mean, some of our businesses can't be open. We can't do this. We can't do that. But what can we do? And try to play within the gray area and see what we can do. I mean, I was listening to a fascinating interview, guys, with Mark Lohr. He's a fascinating sales guy. Mark Lohr, do you know Mark Lohr? He's the guy that...
I heard the name. I've never listened to his
stuff. He created diapers.com, which is like, you know, created a $1 billion exit or whatever. And then he was just buying diapers at Costco and then selling them online, right? And then he eventually...
Really?
I swear to God. Yeah. He made a quote basically that says, look at any industry in the world that you buy from, and if you can think about it, how can you make that industry better? And you have a business. Like, you don't have to, he said, take a pizza. He's like, you know, take a pizza. It can be hotter, fresher, faster. How can you do that? You have $1 billion business right there.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's just fascinating because a lot of us are thinking about the newest idea, and he's just like taking whatever is currently selling and just make it easy, you know, better to you just as the consumer. And then, so that's what he would diapers. He eventually created jet.com. Now he got purchased by Walmart. Now he's on he runs Walmart. He runs Walmart Digital, and they're doing really well, obviously. But they basically bought jet.com just for his mind, basically, because they end up closing jet.com this year. So that just shows you that they didn't really buy jet.com for anything but this guy.
But him.
But yeah, pretty much. Here's billions of dollars just for your mind. Please, let's reserve that for a few years in Walmart. Because and they're killing it now because the guy just understands the internet and knows how to sell things online. And so just a fascinating guy, Mark Lohr, L-O-R-E. Just a great story.
I'm going to look
him
up. Yeah,
you can literally just like sell anything. But just think about it, folks. You don't have to create a new business. You just take what already selling and just make it a little bit better.
Just make it a little bit better.
Yep. So do you think you'll ever retire? You kind of said that when you retire,
I don't see doing this. I don't see the official retirement. Like, I'm not going to do anything. I could never just sit around not doing anything.
Right.
I see myself, you know, probably when we're back into doing speaking engagements and things, you know, doing that.
Right.
But I also, you know, I think I want to build sort of a digital portfolio to have that residual income when people want to join, you know, my training. They sign up online and they join the training,
and
that's where I want to be. So, and you know, I'm kind of in the early stages of building that, and I'm getting there. So
it's amazing.
We'll hopefully by being on podcasts like yours, I'll get some more exposure.
Absolutely. Anyone that's listening, we're going to definitely give you lots of love, put you in the show notes, et cetera, folks. But a couple more questions for you, my man. How do you start your day? Do you have a typical routine for your day?
Well, yes. So before COVID, I would get up and before COVID, I hated working in my house.
Okay.
I was to say there was no words here. I never could write here. I never could do anything. I would go to my favorite coffee shop. That's where I wrote my entire book, actually.
Wow, okay.
Coffee shop.
Wow.
And that's where I would do all my work. And while I was still selling and writing my book, I would spend 3 hours on the book and then another hour or two on my regular job. And then I would go and run appointments. So that was my day.
Got you.
And so boom, COVID happens. Now I'm like, holy crap. You know, what do I do? So I had to create a home office and figure this out. And and now I actually like it. I made it my own. I made it comfortable. So now I get up and I just walk across the room, but now I'm at work.
Right.
And but I make my coffee, and sometimes I'll now go out because the coffee shops are at least open to get coffee to go.
Sure.
But the routine is, I'm a very structured guy, so I know exactly what I'm doing the next day.
Yes.
Before I go to bed.
Right.
That's what I try to do, and I encourage everyone to do that. And here's another small tip that I learned very recently, which I've never done before, and it's brilliant. So you have your calendar, right? And then you have your to-do list.
Yes.
Every piece of software that has a calendar has a separate to-do list. It's a task list.
Yes.
Well, how about this? Take the task and put it on your calendar with a timeline.
Right.
So if you say, okay, I have to, I don't know, update my website today.
Yeah.
Rather than just writing it as a task and leaving it there arbitrarily.
Right.
Put down on Wednesday morning from 10 to 10:45, I'm updating my website.
Absolutely.
You'll be stunned on how much more productive you are because it's actually on your calendar rather than you're looking at your task list. You're like, well, should I do this? Should I do that? And all of a sudden you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram and now that you don't do the task.
Absolutely.
Take your tasks and put it on your calendar and give it a time limit or give it a time frame and you'll force yourself to do it.
Absolutely. So that's what I do. Yeah, I was trying to find the book on my phone here. Indistractable is the book, fat folks. And he gives you just that exact.
Is it really? Okay, so I just heard that myself, so I didn't know it was someone else's.
It's not someone else's maybe, but it's one of his tips into being indistractable, which is we're so distracted by notifications and things that come into our life. And one of his tips in his book is something similar to that, where he basically says time block. So instead of, instead of making a to-do list, just time block it into your calendar and make yourself accountable instead of saying you're going to do things on your to-do list that you pretty much never get done. And we've all fallen victim to that. And then obviously you can move it around on your calendar. So I think it's a great strategy. I really do.
Yeah.
I think that there's something to just time blocking, getting it done. I found once I started kind of doing it, it seems like you really do hold yourself accountable, like you were to go to a sales meeting or like you were to go to a podcast or something like that. And you get it done and you show up for changing the website. I got to do this. I got to update this. And so I think it's a very kind of efficiency tip too. I think that it's a very efficient way.
And it really helps with procrastination because we all stare at our to-do list and we try to cherry pick what we want to do first. We try to do the easiest thing first and then we don't want to do this. And then it goes to the next day and then the next day and then just get it done.
Too many days, man. Just do you, folks. Just do you. I have it quite often, and I get a lot of things done in my life, folks, but this happens all the time to any one of us. There's shit that just, whether it's in your personal life, I got to put my DMV tags on me and my wife's car. I haven't done it for like 5 days. I could have been doing it. I have it on my calendar, but I just have been progressing a little bit because I've been doing other shit. And the point is, that's just life, you know, and you can't hold yourself completely because it's just DMV tags. They don't really matter. I mean, until whatever, August, August 1st.
I still got eight days
to go. But the point is, you do things like that and you're just like, why the hell did I not get it done? But that's part of life. But then when it comes to your business and you and getting things done in your like podcast or anything you do, building your boot camp, no one's going to do it for you. So you got to hold yourself accountable. And I think that's just a great tip, folks. Do you have a skill right now you're trying to master? Is there something you're trying to get better at during these COVID? I mean, outside of working from home, which is, it is a skill.
Absolutely. A skill.
It's a lot of convenience too, because you don't have to travel. I have a lot of podcast guests that are, you know, have been spending an hour or two in traffic every day for their whole lives.
Yeah.
That are not having to do that. And they're getting to spend more time with their families closer, take more frequent breaks, if you want to call it, and then work more efficiently because you're not getting bombarded by, hey, check this out. Hey, dude, what are you doing this weekend, man, on the sports score? And, you know, you don't want to be rude to your coworkers, but you're like, dude, I'm working, man. Like,
I'm working,
put the bubble on, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, that can wait till like 4:35, you know, right? The last 30 minutes, like, that's all talk. But you know how it is. Like, when you get 100, 500 people working together, people all kind of want to take breaks.
Productivity goes down. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
So that's why you're saying. I would say I'm working on two things specifically. One has been my LinkedIn game. I really, really upped that. I really am very consistent with my posting, and I'm also intentional. I'm not just posting arbitrarily. Oh, I have an idea. Let me just post it. I really try to map out. Okay, this is what I'm going to post this week.
Nice.
This is what it's going to be about.
Nice.
So I'm really just trying to improve that. I've been improving the video game. You know, the video posts that I do to make them look more professional and consistent. You can build your brand with your videos, how they look every single time you put them up. And then the other thing is I just started my podcast. Like I said, I've got 12 or 13 recorded now.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I know I get better. It's fun. And I listen back and I think it sounds pretty good for a novice, but you know, I clearly can tell that you've given 270 interviews yes. and I've done 12. So
and the point is that like anything, like you in a sales call, I bet you're a beast. No matter what you're selling, I could probably give you an ice chip and Eskimo is on the other side and you could sell it to him. The point is, that's what happens with anything you do, like your videos, like your LinkedIn game, like when you have the intentionality, the more you do anything. And it's hard to do podcast interviews, folks, on Zoom. Joe Rogan yeah. hates it. He's the best podcaster in the world because there is a delay. There's a little bit of trying to figure these things out, try to build friendship with someone instantly and build a connection and have a conversation with them where they maybe are being vulnerable and having conversations that they don't even have on major media. Some of these people have said this to me that they never told anybody.
Right.
How can you do that? And so that's the kind of fun part about it. And I think you'll find over the time and years, I'm sure that you'll be recording is that how much you learn as a host, and then also as a guest, you know, what you can bring to others. It's amazing. It's a two-part kind of thing. Is the guest is a little bit different, but the host is kind of, it teaches you so much. I would say it's like almost like having your own mastermind.
In
a way.
That's a good way to put it.
And I swear to God, even like the biggest guests I've gotten so excited and learned from, and I got, you know, obviously a little nervous because I was like, oh my God, I'm bringing this big guest on. But I've learned from like the guests that I wasn't even expecting. You know what I mean? Yep. And like the one that I was just like kind of, you know, oh, no big deal. I got, you know, a few guests here. And then like all four of them hit me over the head with something. I'm like, oh my God. So it's just, you can learn something from anyone, right? So that's the most important thing, I think, as a host is just trying to find those nuggets, trying to find ways to learn. So do you have a favorite app on your phone right now? Is there an app that you gravitate to? Is there something that you're enjoying more than others?
Good question. I'm trying to limit my phone access besides, you know, responding, texting, and emails.
Or a productivity tool or anything recently.
What's that?
Or just like a tool or any kind of productivity.
Well, you know what? From an entertainment standpoint, I learned this. There's an app called Quibi. You ever hear of Quibi?
Oh, yeah. Quibi, yep. It's a new one, yep.
So when COVID was happening and you were waiting online at Starbucks for 45 minutes to get a coffee.
Right.
I started going on Quibi because they have series, but they're only 10 or 12 minute shows. Shorter.
Yes.
And it's such a cool concept because you can sit there and they're really well done. They're very well produced and acted and everything, but it's 7 to 12 minutes of watching rather than sitting there for an hour and watching a whole, you know, Game of Thrones, they break their whole show into 12. So you got like 16 or 17 episodes, but you kind of get hooked because it's like quick, like 12 minutes. All right, what's the next one? And then so you can watch two or three of them while you're waiting in line. So I started getting into all the Quibi shows. Those were pretty fun.
Yeah, it's Meg Whitman, I think, is one of the owners of that one, and I'm not sure the other one, but it's a fascinating new kind of take on Netflix in a way, but just shorter, simpler, quicker, and it might really take off. I mean, I know they've had a lot of different speculations about their valuation, you know how that gets, but the point is, it sounds like a very cool tool for people in entertainment, and also the fact that we all have shorter attention spans, and we can't be spending hours watching
these. Perfect for the people who have that. You know, they're waiting for something.
Yes, waiting for the doctor.
Waiting for the kid to come out of school, whatever, and they got 10 minutes.
Yes.
And rather than sitting on Facebook or Instagram, you can watch it. They have educational stuff on there too.
So, right.
It was cool.
Yeah, I think that everything's moved that way. Obviously, we know with the Instagrams and IGs and TikToks, everyone loves these short, simple videos.
Yep.
So a couple last questions for you, my man. Be real for me. If you could sit down to a New York steak strip dinner with anyone in the world and they're coming to you, who would you want to sit down with today?
Very easy question. Stephen King.
Talk about my favorite writer. One of the best writers. Oh my God.
Devoured his stuff growing up. Emulated my writing to his writing. He wrote a book called On Writing, the actual craft of writing. I've read it a few times. It's brilliant. Yep.
I'm going to have to check that one out. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So it's all about kind of the craft of writing.
And what I love about writing is the process of it and what. And like I'm a big fiction writer. I like to write a lot of fiction, but so this book that I wrote is obviously a nonfiction book, so completely different. But I love to talk to fiction guys and how they get their ideas. Mm. Like, where did this idea come from? That's the number one question a writer gets is, well, what'd you think of this? Or what'd you think of this crazy concept? And his brain is like the stuff he thinks of, like all of his stories. And he's so prolific. So absolutely 100% would be him for dinner.
I love that.
We're going to have to try to see if we can get that. And I love that book. I'm going to have to put that. We'll definitely put that in the show notes. I'm going to put that on my Audible list right there if they have one.
Yeah, you definitely. That's a cool one. If you're a writer or like writing at all, you definitely, it's a really good book.
Yeah, I think everyone can need to learn how to write better, you know, and he's one of the best as far as, you know, he's writing scary stuff. Let's just be real. But, but scary stuff is still writing, and these stories are suspenseful and they give us an escape out of our reality through words, which think about that. They can take you in. Everyone's kind of seeing something different in their minds because, as you know, everyone kind of visualizes things differently. But it's amazing that through words, someone can leave you in suspense. I was watching a recent interview, guys, with Joe Rogan and Oliver Stone. That's a good one, folks. It's a recent
one.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He's talking about how he wrote, you know, Scarface, talking about how he, writing that and based on the dynamic of all the stuff and how just how that has basically made him an OG in the drug lord game, and that, you know, he can pretty much go to anywhere in the world and they're cool with him because he wrote the Scarface. And it's just it's fascinating how words can transform a world. Obviously he's written a lot. He's done a lot of other movies too, but the point was, it's just fascinating. It's just truly fascinating that people can write something and then it can be turned into a movie and turn into like a following. And if you look at my past workplace, it could turn into, you know, theaters and parks and carnival, you know, cruise lines and, you know, Disneyland has just turned from a little cartoon to everything. And it's a fascinating. Can you give our listeners, my man, one last real talk thought for them for the day today?
Well, that's a good segue. So I'm going to leave everyone with this tip. Speaking of stories and words affecting people, you have to implement stories in your sales process. Mm. Do not talk about, especially if you have a technical product or something that people may have a tough time grasping, do not talk about the copy machines, 1,000 page per minute and collating and back to back. Talk about how the copy machine saved the Girl Scout camp, troop with 1,000 copies on a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
Same copy machine. The one who told the story is going to sell it. The one who talks about the collating is not going to sell it.
The efficiency.
So you have to incorporate stories all the time in your selling. That's my
point. Also, a good point that I took too is just localizing your stories too. So making that story feel different to the person you're talking to based on their neighbor or based on the client that you know is right around the corner. Hey, we work with the Joe around the corner here from you, and we've been working with him for, you know, 9 years, a different industry than yours, but, you know, a great guy, you know, and that's just an instant way to build camaraderie with someone that you're in, like you said, their same tribe, in their same area, as we all want that. Mm-hmm. And where, Alan, is the best place for people to find you? I have a feeling, but.
The two places, you go to Alan Langer on LinkedIn, and it's A-L-L-A-N, so I've got the weird spelling, Alan Langer, and then, or allanger.com, it's A-L, and then L-A-N-G-E-R.com, and you can get my book there, you can get my podcast there, the book will take you to, the link will take you to Amazon, you can buy the book, and send me an email, I'd love to hear an email, and this is what I'd like to offer. I do this on only the podcast that I like, and this is
so he means it. Your boy did a good job.
I mean it. So the first two people that email me from my website mentioning the Be Real show will get a signed copy of my book for free sent to them.
Boom! So take advantage of that today, folks. I know there's two people listening that need to take advantage of that right now.
I hope there's two people listening.
I hope there's at least one right here. Yeah. This is my producer. Hey, will you sign up too? We got two, my friend. Folks, you've been hanging out with my man, Alan Langer, and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that Reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, you know, decisions, they're looking at your, you know, at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.